And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is values. All of my guests are discussing values both in business and in politics. My first guest formed the value-centric cultures at such companies as Southwest Airlines and JetBlue. She's a human resources expert and the founder of People Inc. We discussed how to create a company that is built on values. My next guest is a fellow at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., and he's an expert on President Ronald Reagan. We're going to discuss President Reagan's enduring legacy as president more than 100 years after his birth. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can do that by calling 639-0008. Lee Edwards, Ph.D., is the Heritage Foundation's in-house authority on the U.S. conservative movement. A leading historian of American conservatism, Dr. Edwards is the author or editor of over 20 books, including a biography of President Reagan, Barry Goldwater, and Edwin Meese III. Dr. Edwards is an adjunct professor of politics at Catholic University of America. He's also the founding director of the Institute of Political Journalism at Georgetown University and a fellow at the Institute of Politics at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Lee is the past president of the Philadelphia Society and a media fellow over at the Hoover Institute as well. He appears frequently on cable and broadcast networks such as Fox, CNN, Bloomberg, NBC, and the list goes on. And his writings appear in such publications as the Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times, Boston Globe, etc., etc. Dr. Edwards earned his doctorate in world politics from Catholic University of America. He also has a Bachelor of Arts degree in English from Duke University, and he did some graduate work at the Sorbonne in Paris as well. He lives in Alexandria, Virginia with his wife, and his wife also assists him on some of his writing. Welcome to the show, Lee. How are you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much for asking me to be able to talk about one of my favorite presidents, Ronald Reagan.
Well, we're glad to have you because this is the home of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, and so many of our citizens here feel a very, very close tie with President Reagan. So let me start off this way, if I can. When President Reagan left office, he assured all of his Reagan revolutionaries that they had made a difference. The United States was stronger and freer when he left office. In what ways is that true?
Well, I think, number one, that he helped to restore Americans' confidence in themselves. As you recall, Bill, we had come through, before we came into office, some pretty tough times under Jimmy Carter, the economic malaise, the Watergate scandal, and also the Vietnam War. So People were looking, they were wondering, you know, are our best days behind us? And Ronald Reagan, that wonderful sunny optimism of his, said, no, they are not. They're ahead of us, and all we have to do is to have confidence in ourselves, rely upon the first principles of the American founding, and we're going to be flying high once again, which is precisely what happened throughout the 1980s.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful decade, wasn't it? Now, one of the things that you write is that Ronald Reagan possessed what you have termed the classical virtues of courage, prudence, justice, and wisdom. So let's go through that and let's talk about some of those virtues for some of my listeners who may have forgotten. In what ways did he exhibit the virtue of courage, for example, Lee?
Well, I think also if we think of the virtue of courage, we think of that day that he was shot. And what he did was to exhibit this most extraordinary physical courage in which he was encouraging everybody else, including Nancy, including his top aides, that he was fine, he was going to be okay. When Nancy came into the hospital there after he had been shot with this very worried look, obviously, on her face, he said, honey, I forgot to duck. And so typical of him. Also, as he was being wheeled into the operating room to remove the bullet, he looked up and there were three top aides sort of standing up against the wall with these long, gloomy faces. He looked up and he said, hey, fellas, who's minding the store? So, you know, he was constantly worried about how other people were, not thinking about himself.
Well, two things about that, Lee, that I find interesting. One of my favorite quips from that is as he's about to go under the knife to have the bullet removed, he looked up at the doctor and he asked if the doctor was a Republican.
Yeah.
I laugh at that to this day. And the other thing about that particular day that's etched in my mind, even more so than Reagan's assassination attempt, was the fact that my daughter was also born on that particular day. So regardless of what channel I turned to in the waiting room, there was the news about President Reagan being shot. Just one of those days that's burned in my memory, that's all.
Well, you know, he came back in very short order because he was in extraordinary physical shape for someone who was 69 years of age. And within 6 weeks, he went before Congress, presented his Economic Recovery Act program and legislation, which resulted in an extraordinary and unprecedented period of economic growth and prosperity, really for almost the next 20 years. So restoring the confidence, restoring the economy, and then, of course, the really thing that he did, which might be perhaps his most historically his most important achievement, was to win the Cold War, was to end the Cold War.
Yeah.
Without firing a shot, as Margaret Thatcher once remarked.
Yeah, I think ending the Cold War definitely will be part of his legacy. We're talking to Dr. Lee Edwards, everybody. We're talking about President Ronald Reagan on what would be now more than the 100th anniversary of his birth. So talking about his other classic virtues, you mentioned prudence was one of his classic virtues. In what way did President Reagan exhibit prudence?
Well, you know, he was very careful, Bill, about committing American force and American troops and American military overseas. And he chose throughout that period of the 1980s to support freedom fighters in countries like Angola, like Afghanistan, like Nicaragua, rather than trying to send, you know, American troops in the tens of thousands to solve the problems there. And as a matter of fact, because of that, we know, the record is clear, that those freedom fighters with American aid didn't bring about an end to tyranny or totalitarianism, authoritarianism, in every one of those countries. So it really was an example of prudence, of being able to apply appropriate force for the appropriate situation.
Hmm. Now, Lee, I'm going to ask you a probing question here, and I don't by any means mean this to be negative, but let's talk about Afghanistan, because at that time Afghanistan was under Soviet rule, and we sent support to the Afghan rebels, who turned out to be led by none other than Osama bin Laden. And Osama bin Laden and his troops, in fact, did turn the Soviets out of Afghanistan. However, we started another ball in motion at the same time with Osama bin Laden, which eventually led to the catastrophe that we had on September the 11th. So, you know, again, these have unintended consequences. Were there any other actions that President Reagan had during his tenure that had similar unintended consequences?
Well, I think, first of all, that Osama bin Laden was not there at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan. He did not come until late in that decade. So we were not arming Osama bin Laden and his jihadist allies there. What we were doing was taking a prudential step at that point, putting pressure on the Soviets so that they would then withdraw and help to bring about an end to the Cold War. I think it was the right thing to do. I think it proved to be the right thing. What we did not do, which we should have done, was we should have stayed around a little bit to help that government to stay more democratic than it did. We did not. We pulled out too precipitately, and as a result of that, the Taliban came in, and then gave Osama bin Laden a chance to have a base in which to operate and do things like the terrorist acts of 9/11.
Exactly. They provided him safe harbor. We're talking to Dr. Lee Edwards, everybody. We're talking about President Ronald Reagan on what would have been a 100th anniversary of his birth. And we're talking about his classic virtues. Another of his classic virtues, as you described it, is justice, Lee. How did he exhibit justice as one of the key virtues?
Well, Bill, he felt that everybody should be treated the same. And so, in his mind, that meant particularly treating every human being from conception to natural death the same. And for him, that meant that there should be a stand on behalf of the idea of life and therefore against abortion. So he was very strong proponent of the pro-life movement when he was in office as president. Now, it's true that when he was governor, he signed one of the most liberal abortion laws in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But that was before Roe versus Wade and before he was made to understand exactly how this would be used to bring about extreme numbers of abortions right up almost to the actual birth of that child or that baby. So there was there, I think, that this idea of justice, of treating everybody the same. I'm also reminded of the fact, of course, that he thought that women should be considered for the highest possible offices, and that included the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And he appointed the first woman to the U.S. Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor.
And that will be a part of his enduring legacy as well. We're talking to Lee Edwards, everybody. We're talking about President Ronald Reagan. And the last of the virtues that you outlined is wisdom. How, in what ways was President Reagan wise during his tenure as president?
Well, I think here it really is truly remarkable, Bill. I mean, you think about it, that to be wise is to be able to see what others cannot see. And in the early 80s, he could already see that the Soviet Union was in serious economic trouble, and that it was beginning to crumble from within, and that what we had to do was to keep pressure up on them and bring them to the bargaining table. At the same time, America's premier intellectuals, people like Arthur Schlesinger Jr., John Kenneth Galbraith, both of Harvard, were going to Moscow, visiting, coming back and saying, this is what Schlesinger said, Professor Schlesinger, anybody who thinks that the Soviet Union is going away anytime soon is sadly mistaken. It's crazy. It's just not going to happen. And in 1984, even as late as that, Mr. Galbraith, Professor Galbraith, coming back from 2 months in Moscow, said, the Soviet economy is doing very, very well. It's doing marvelously well. Well, both of these estimations, both of these looks at the Soviet Union were dead wrong. And it was the graduate of Eureka College, not Harvard, who saw things more clearly and who predicted that Marxism-Leninism was headed for the ash heap of history.
And it proved to be true. That's right. Lee, now I'm going to change direction on you, because while you've outlined all of the classic virtues that Ronald Reagan has, I think unheralded and largely unnoticed until recently was Ronald Reagan's impact on changing the country's mindset from populism, which is the dislike and the distrust of big business, to a dislike and a distrust of big government. And in the past 10 years, we've seen a reversal of that. We've seen a return to populism. We've seen big government getting stronger and stronger, trying to solve our problems, and a retreat from self-reliance and enterprise as really fundamental core values. So what is it going to take for the United States to return to more of a Ronald Reagan-like ideals in these areas?
Well, I think we're seeing it happening. Bill, I really, if you know, the Tea Party movement, what's going on in our state capitals right now, we don't know what the final outcome is going to be, but all of these actions, what happened in the elections in November, what's happening right now, are reactions against too big government, excessive spending, excessive controls, the idea that somehow we should always be dependent upon a group of far-off people in a distant capital, as he put it back, as Ronald Reagan put it back in 1964 in his famous speech for Barry Goldwater. So I think that Ronald Reagan's philosophy of government in a particular crisis is not always the solution, but is the problem, is being borne out in what we're seeing in these various political actions and capitals today.
We're talking to Dr. Lee Edwards, everybody, of the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about President Ronald Reagan. And another interesting point, Lee, is this, that when Ronald Reagan took office, one of his first acts was to fire the federal air traffic controllers. So I'm going to ask you, what parallels do you see between President Reagan's actions of firing the controllers and the actions of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's confrontation between the state and local government employees unions?
Well, I think it's a very, very close, very parallel situation. And the we have to realize that the people who are demonstrating in Wisconsin, there in the state capitol, are public employees, which is to say that a strike by them is illegal. It's just against the law, and therefore, if they were to go out on strike formally, they're using various artifices right now. The governor could say, I'm terribly sorry, you're in violation of the law, you must go back to work, or I'm going to have to replace you. And that's what Ronald Reagan did back in 1981 with and about a union which had supported him in his presidential bid just a couple of months before. But for him, it was a matter of what was right, what was lawful, what they were doing was illegal, and therefore he took appropriate action.
Good. Now, let me ask you on a bigger picture and to step back and look at the election of 2012, which is just around the corner for all intents and purposes. Senator John Thune of South Dakota has bowed out of the race. Who do you see that might come onto the political scene on the Republican side that embraces the Reagan-esque qualities that President Reagan had when he was campaigning?
Well, you know, Bill, I think this is going to be a really an extraordinary and an election like we've never seen before. What I mean by that is because of the Internet, because of what it can do, the power of social media, of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all the rest of it, that it is possible for an unknown, somebody whom we perhaps don't even can think of and conceive of as a possible candidate today, can become the candidate through using the Internet. We saw that's what Barack Obama did brilliantly, and I think he set a new standard for the use of the Internet. That's going to have, I think, a tremendous impact. So I think it's therefore possible for, let's say, a congressman or a senator or a governor who is not in the top two or three or four right now, to come zooming up there to do well in the Internet, to do well in the primaries, and might very well be the one who will challenge President Obama in 2012.
Very interestingly, here's a fun fact. You probably know this. Many of my listeners don't, though. The number of Republicans that are registered on Twitter and on Facebook exceeds the numbers of Democrats that are registered on Twitter and on Facebook right now, which is interesting. So the Republican Party is, in fact, moving towards social media, moving towards the Internet in order to get their word out. Last question for you, Lee, before I have to let you go. How do you think history is going to remember President Ronald Reagan?
Well, I think we already know that the people think he's terrific and put him in the top five or so among the presidents. And what's happening among historians and political scientists that he is coming up very, very quickly as people begin to say, well, what has he done with regard to his policies, both domestically in terms of foreign policy? So I think certainly he will be marked by history and is being marked already as one of the top five or six presidents in U.S. history, and I think he deserves it, as we've discussed here today. He was an extraordinary man who continues to inspire to this day.
Shameless plug for our own Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley. Folks, if you haven't been out to see that building, you owe it to yourself to go out there.
It's magnificent. I've been out there myself, Bill. It is just really, truly marvelous what they've done.
I'm glad to hear you echo those sentiments, Lee. I couldn't have said it better myself. It is great. We've been talking to Dr. Lee Edwards, everybody. We've been talking about President Ronald Reagan. Lee, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your writings or the Heritage Foundation, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Very easy, heritage.org.
Heritage.org. And there you can find out all about Dr. Lee Edwards and also about the Heritage Foundation. Lee, thank you so much for being our special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure, Bill. All the best to you.
And to you, too.